running pretty hot with Willie and JT this afternoon. Prime Minister Helen Clark says dangerous dogs give her the creeps, and she's personally in favour of tough dog laws. Well, there have been calls for tighter dog control after two-year-old Aotea Coxon was savaged by a dog in a Christchurch park on Sunday, requiring 290 stitches and a plate inserted in a broken jaw. Helen Clark says she's repulsed by the attack, as we all are. You know, the interesting thing is, and it's almost like those horrific stories of child abuse that surface every now and again and on an increasingly regular basis. So the stories burst about a dog savaging a child, a dangerous breed of dog usually doing that. And then there are calls for tighter dog control laws, and indeed governments often and politicians often get together and enact those laws. Yet the attacks continue. We'll find out more about that in just a moment. We'll be talking to Connie Lawn, our US correspondent, a little later on about a series of disasters that have occurred in the United States. We'll have today in Parliament, find out what the politicians have been up to. We'll also find out the story behind the story that you would have heard in the news there. The preschoolers prefer the taste of burgers and fries and even vegetables when they come in McDonald's wrappers, as opposed to the same food in plain wrappers. We'll find out a bit more about that later. Right now, let's get back to the subject of dogs, and let's have a talk to Blair Anderson, dog trainer and webmaster of www.doglinks.co.nz. G'day, Blair. Hello, Blair. Okay, we seem to either have lost Blair, or we might want to roll up the volume and see if he's still there. Blair, are you there? Nope. Okay, we've lost Blair. Here's the thing about dogs. I've got two. And they're tiny little dogs. They're not dangerous dogs or anything like that. One's a little white West Highland Terrier and one's a little black Scottish Terrier. All told, they'd be about 12 inches high each and about 18 inches long at the absolute outside. And they're nice little dogs and everything else. Well, all of a sudden, the dog ranges around. Oops, I've forgotten to re-register one of the dogs. Well, that's okay, that's fair enough. Suddenly, though, the Auckland City Council now declares that because I have two dogs, I have to go around all my neighbours and get a special permit, which I have to pay even more money for, to keep two dogs on site. Why? It's all part of the hysterical reaction to what's occurred in the past, where dogs have attacked other children. Attacked children. But the point is, these are not dangerous breeds. A Scottish Terrier? Good grief. More likely to be licked to death, I would have thought. Okay, let's go and have a talk to Blair now, who I think is back with us. Hello, Blair.
Hello, Bob. Sorry.
Bill. It's Bill Blair.
What am I talking about? Bill.
It's a shambles here this afternoon.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I mean, what did you make of the, most recent dog attack on a child? It attracts a lot of hysteria, doesn't it?
It's certainly been wall-to-wall on talkback as I've heard it, and I do... You know, I share the concerns of many people that who wants to see the kind of tragedies that are occurring here, and that we've done nothing that actually is reducing it significantly.
Mm-hmm.
In that, if there's been a few, and you know, if we've reduced it by a few, when there's a hell of a lot, we yep. haven't fixed much at all.
No.
And so,
but okay, the knee-jerk thing is, oh well, and Helen Clark today, oh yes, oh tougher dog control laws. We've had tougher dog control laws. They don't work.
And to the extent that we adopted microchipping, it hasn't accomplished any intended purpose at all.
Not at all.
So what do we do? And that's where it begs the question, how did we get here?
Yep.
And to understand that, from a dog behaviourist perspective, and somebody who's a, you know, as you people may know my name, I also commentate on other social issues, and there's a problem we've got. That if unless we talk about this holistically, we're not going to fix that problem.
Okay, but hang on. Helen Clark says, for example, you're talking about legislating holistically, but Helen Clark's saying she, A, wants tougher dog control laws, and B, that she herself gets the creeps with dangerous dogs. Is there such a thing as a breed of dangerous dogs? Is any breed bannable?
Well, specific legislation that targets the breed of a dog is a very, very poor model. Mm. And it's,
why is that, mate?
Well, it's difficult to define what constitutes a dog. It's like asking, is somebody, you know, are you sort of 100% Maori? You know, a dog that even exhibits the qualities of being, you know, a bull mastiff may in fact not be a bull mastiff.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that one could argue that it looks like one, therefore it is, right? It's inconsistent with what we do know about some of these dogs. I've got a good friend of mine who has the most awesome Mastiff. It's the friendliest animal and absolute delight to own. I've had other dogs that have been in my experience that have been small and have the small dog syndrome and they'll attack anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difficulty here is what do we do about it and how do we understand the problem? And here's my contribution to this debate. The more we put dogs behind high fences and we keep them on short leads, the less socialized our dogs are becoming, and we're reaping the very, very thing that we sought out to avoid.
Why are high fences and short leads bad?
Well, particularly for young dogs, where they don't get the opportunity to socialize with other dogs during that early puppy phase, which is the most important socialization phase.
Right.
There's no question about that. There are steps that even any individual can take if they've got a young puppy that'll ensure that their dog is well socialized, and that is to ensure that they go to places where there are other dogs.
I've noticed the youngest one of our dogs, who's about a year old, reacts not badly, but starts barking and badly at another dog if it meets it in the street or if it's on the lead. But if it's in a park and they're off the lead in an off-the-lead situation, it'll be a happy little critter and they'll roll around together and play.
And what you're finding is atypical of most people in terms of once the dog is on a lead, its behaviour changes substantially. Mm. It's not just a piece of string. Mm. It affects its whole way in which it interacts with you and with other people. Many times, we find that dogs become more aggressive in these situations, and that's consistent with... it's consistent with the behaviour you'd expect if you created a society which kept dogs behind high fences and on short leads. It's an outcome of what we're doing. It also creates, of course, and reinforces in people's minds that dogs are to be feared, and of course the worst thing you can do with any breed specific kind of prejudice like that is you're creating a dog that then no longer gets an opportunity to socialize with people because people are inherently fearful of
that
dog.
Now this is really true because I live in Auckland. Most you never see a dog wandering around the streets here. They're normally picked up and gone, or at least in central Auckland. I don't know whether they do in South Auckland or anywhere else, but I was down in Hawke's Bay over the weekend. My wife and I went for a walk around a rural part of a little village in Hawke's Bay, and there were dogs everywhere, and I must admit I kept crossing the road. Even if it was a fox terrier, I'd cross the road because you don't see dogs walking around in the major urban areas anymore.
And to the extent that the required conversation must be as to what do we have as a problem here? We didn't have a problem with the hypothetical village dog.
Right.
Now, certainly breed-specific legislation is a dangerous piece of. I mean, you can't legislate this stuff.
No.
It's an impractical solution, even if you tried to.
But you can't take down the high fences, and you can't say take dogs off the leads either, universally, because that just recreates a problem more. At least,
look at some of the clues that we've got going here that have been identified. In Mirapara, we had a situation where the guy was admitting that he kept a dog so that it was his protection. It was a way of him, not having to deal with people without arriving unannounced. His dog at least let him know that. It was like a built-in burglar alarm with teeth. So in the sense that we've created a scenario where a lot of people are actually, I've had policemen suggest that we should get a guard dog, right? And of course, the meaner the guard dog in this scenario, the better it works. You get more value for money from a mean dog. So we've created, again, a scenario where we're actually designing dogs to create fear, and using dogs in ways which are prejudicial, in the sense that even police dogs are designed to, their significant component of their control mechanism is based around or predicated on fear.
Yeah.
Yet we've got other dogs which provide an enormous range of services in our community, and you can generally regard that the value of a dog in a household in terms of just the health aspects that it brings to the well-being of a family is try taking that dog away from that.
I buy the theory here, Blair, but I don't know how you put it into practice without having chaos for a while.
Well, here's again my broader reading on the subject, Bill, is that the metaphor is what we're doing regarding our children, and of course the tragedies that have occurred in recent times with violence towards children. The more we put people and isolate them from our community, in other words, we've got to bring these people in from the cold, so to speak. The way in which we're criminalising people in our community is actually very, very harmful to the long-term security of everybody.
Yeah.
And We have to have the required conversation that centres around this.
So if we're criminalising people and they have dogs, they'll criminalise their dogs?
Well, to the extent that if they're not participating in our society fully, then it's very difficult for them to own a dog and raise it credibly. And that's, we've got to understand this is only a symptom of a bigger problem that we've got. To the extent that we could fix this, mm-hmm. I don't think it's beyond us. And I encourage people to consider what it means. I mean, this is the, I guess I'm regaling against on the get tough mentality that goes down with this.
Well, the get tough mentality, Blair, doesn't seem to have worked so far, so maybe someone should look at some of your suggestions.
Well, it hasn't found to be effective almost anywhere. I mean, even to the extreme of mandatory sentencing, which is effectively what people were baying for, when we talk about some of the consequences of crime, and of course, as I said, the fact that this comes back to the simple indicators are like, how do we manage people who have got difficult dogs?
Oh, that's right. That's a question that's going to keep rolling on for a while, I think, Blair. Thank you very much for talking to us this afternoon. There you go. Blair's basic point is it's socialisation of dogs that's paramount. Perceived dangerous dogs are less likely to be patted and therefore become dangerous. And as he says, short leads and high fences are bad for dogs. Does breed paranoia in them, I suppose. Interesting. I like his village dog concept. You'd have to have a nice little one with sort of gums rather than teeth, I would have thought, just to be on the safe side. Right now, it's 23 minutes past four. We'll be back with Connie Lorne in just a moment.
There's no need to miss the 6 o'clock news. Three news.